Digital Wildcatters, my fans at Chuck Yates needs a job. Colin would not let me do another Fuse-a-thon. I'm so bummed about this. So I drug him in here today. We've literally been having this discussion out there. We've got our Empower conference coming up, which the exact dates are
March 26th, 27th.
We've done it two times before. It is the Bitcoin mining for the energy business. We have the thesis around here that at the end of the day, those two industries are converging because Bitcoin mining equals power. So much in the way going on, strategies on both sides, that we came up with a device we're going to try today on the air. What did Toby Rice just do?
So EQT, largest natural gas producer in the U.S., I think you guys talked about it on BDE, just decided they're going to curtail 1 BCF of production. They do 6 BCF a day, I think, now. So like 1/6 of the current production due to low natural gas prices. So the question that we were talking about off the air is, what would happen if they took that 1 BCF and started mining Bitcoin, especially with Bitcoin being $65,000, $66,000 of Bitcoin currently? And so John is over here. Upstream Data, our friends over there, just released a calculator. It's a little in-depth, so we're going to see if we can get this thing fired up. And I'm not sure if it can equate for a full BCF of gas. But we're going to see if we can kind of come up with some numbers.
It just came out yesterday that AWS, Amazon, acquires this data center for $650 million that's at a nuclear facility. And so, Chuck, you mentioned this in your intro, that there's kind of this point of singularity where tech companies are becoming energy companies and energy companies are becoming tech companies. You know, it's not just Bitcoin mining, it's high performance computing, these GPU clusters for AI. These things are extremely energy intensive and require a lot of power.
I mean, think about why did Meta just add John Arnold as a board member? What did Mark Zuckerberg say?
Mark Zuckerberg said something along the lines of, we need to get smarter around energy because of what's required for our high performance computing needs. And so, yeah, it's crazy, which is also, we're only one connection away from Mark Zuckerberg now, or John Arnold. Maybe we can
go train some jujitsu with him. Yeah.
Maybe we can ask John to introduce us. But yeah, it's interesting to see how this has played out the last few years, because when we started the first Empower back in 2022, that was the thesis, was that, hey, Bitcoin mining is energy infrastructure. And you've seen companies like Crusoe that were pure play Bitcoin mining companies have since moved on to full high performance computing, building out these GPU clusters for AI. And so it's not just Bitcoin mining now, it's high performance compute. And I think one thing, Jake, we were talking earlier in the office and you made a comment that you didn't realize just how fragile all the components of the grid were. I had a similar realization. I was talking to Conduit Power on Oil and Gas Startups podcast the other day, and I was like, you know, I didn't truly appreciate until about a year or two ago of how much electrical infrastructure was in the oil field and how much oil and gas companies knew about electrical infrastructure. And now you have these companies like Conduit that are setting up these distributed energy resources where, hey, we'll take a nat gas turbine and run gas through it, and we'll participate in the ancillary program and sell electricity into the grid. We'll tie into a substation and we'll make bank during peak demand times. But also, if you want data centers out here, you want Bitcoin miners, or hey, you want to just power the rest of your lease so that you don't have to pull power off the grid. Like, what's happening in electrification?
Well, and this is classic. This is classic oil field playing defense. I core competency of a water flood company is shaving pennies off of electricity, right? Because that's your huge cost and all. You can literally play offense now with it.
Yeah.
You know, your core competency of generating cheap power in some way, shape, or fashion, whether accessing the grid, whether generating it on site, you can now make money with, particularly at $1.50 natural gas.
There's this crazy perfect storm that I'm seeing from a macro standpoint of what's happening is, for one, you know, when we did Empower the first year, AI was not where it's at. You know, ChatGPT was not in the hands of everybody. The demand wasn't there. NVIDIA just crossed $2 trillion earlier, I think it was earlier this week,
yeah,
in market cap. They went from like being this video game GPU company to one of the most valuable companies in the entire world, only behind Microsoft and I think Apple. They're like number, or Saudi Aramco. So like number four, I think. Then you've got the tightening of regulations for oil and gas companies around emissions, right? And so now they have, they can't flare, right? Or they can, but you're gonna be penalized for it. You're gonna pay millions and millions of dollars.
Well, speaking of John Arnold, he just tweeted 2 days ago, he funded that powerful satellite, supposedly the world's most powerful methane detection satellite. They just launched it. And so methane detection technologies are just increasing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at oil and gas startups, the podcasts, the companies that we've had on there over the last few years, you know, it went from like, oh yeah, you know, we're able to track, you know, points of leaks at a tank battery to now we have these high powered satellites that can monitor it across the world and zoom in to see where it's coming from. So you line that up with like EPA regulations, like you are not going to be able to flare.
No, you have to find the solution for that. And there's no better solution for that than being able to Bitcoin mine or being able to power data centers. And then on the other side, on the Bitcoin side, you've got a couple factors. You've had an absolute tear in the price of Bitcoin and appreciation there. And so mining and just becomes significantly more economical. And what was my other point? Another point there.
Well, and let me throw my little pet peeve in here.
The ETF is a big part of that, right? Yeah, so we're seeing more institutional capital come into the space than ever before. We have the halving coming up. So why is that important? Let's not get technical, but the price appreciation over 12 months past each halving historically is 4 to 5x that. So the economics of mining is crazy. Absolutely crazy. So if you're an energy company, what does that mean for you? That means for one, if you want to get into mining, this is a great way to diversify revenue. If you're wanting to get somebody to come and buy your gas, they're more willing to pay a lot more for your gas than you'll probably get at Henry Hub at current prices.
Yeah.
This is an absolute paradigm shift for energy producers.
And now let's be longtime energy boomer guy that says, you know, I hear that same shit about stripping out ethane and the commodities and they all, yes, we make that decision every day. We hook up. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but just like you run things through the plant and you decide every day based on economics to strip out liquids or not strip out liquids, you should be hooked to mining.
You know, it's
you like, should be hooked to data centers, as you know, et cetera.
I think what the interesting thing is, and when I was talking to Conduit the other day, we kind of touched base on this, but if you look at, even if you weren't mining Bitcoin or had data centers and you wanted to put a nat gas turbine out on location, it's like, hey, you can power all of your facilities without having to buy power off the grid. So it's probably, you know, cheaper and more reliable to do that. And you start looking at that and it's like, okay, well, now you're not selling that gas to a midstream company that's going to a peaker plant. So you just shortened up the entire flow. So you just brought midstream, boom, straight there. Midstream and downstream.
Hard Are you alluding on the, to something?
Straight on the location. You look at Bitcoin mining, same thing. Hey, you don't have to send your nat gas into a pipeline and then to a refinery to extract value out of that nat gas or to a peaker plant. You're extracting, you're turning it into a product right there on location. So you're taking this upstream, midstream, downstream and just compacting it all to a pad out in West Texas.
Because quite frankly, that's the biggest place that emissions come from.
Yeah.
It's the midstream.
Yeah.
I mean, the reduction of that goes a long way to reducing
and emissions. With the current regulatory environment, we're not building more pipelines. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
So
the
are we up and running?
Did you get the computer to run?
Are we running?
I believe so.
Okay, so we're gonna let you direct because you've got all the inputs. But
terrible idea.
I now have a stream of a BCF a day that I'm shut in and I'm getting zero. What could we do?
So we have a BCF a day. We are using Upstream Data's hash generator.
Shout out Steve Barber and the Upstream team.
180 kilowatt with Bitmain Antminer S19 Pros. We are assuming that we've got, so I'm backing this out from the, I've got a million MCF per day. So million times a thousand gives you your BCF.
I would never get that right. I'd be sitting bored in meetings with my calculator looking at Jose going, dude, what was that? How many zeros?
5 years of intense calculus makes you pay attention and physics makes you pay attention, all those things. But so that would basically mean that we would have 550 ASICs per data center, which is not realistic. And we would need 2000 of them, which would cost roughly, what is that? $100,000, $1 billion
Okay.
In total CapEx at 92% uptime.
Okay.
So not 100% uptime. At a dollar an MCF, so this is what the miners are paying, plus, you know, there's maintenance costs, depreciation, all that fun stuff built into this. On a monthly revenue perspective, you would generate $297 million, and your operating income for the month would be $251 million with a payback period of 2.25 months and an ROI of 500%.
So that's on Flared. You should run it since it's EQT. I mean, they've got all the takeaway. You should run it at
$1.50,
yeah, $1.50, $1.75
I mean, this whatever is at $1, so we, let's do two.
Do $2. Let's see. Make it four.
It went up to 2.5 months and 474%.
But listen, a good question though that I get
the time
from EMPs,
EQT's earnings,
is how much gas do you need to mine Bitcoin? And kind of rule of thumb is like 600 MCF a day is what we told people. So we should actually run numbers on that. Like, what is that?
You can have you can have a pretty. I think it's like it's the 300 MCF per megawatt. So you have something pretty substantial there. But yeah, with what Upstream is doing, if you have smaller little instances, mm-hmm. and you just have a ton of little gas, they have their hash huts that can do. That's, but that is purely as a tool. This is not something that you're gonna like build a business necessarily around. Yeah. This is like for like.
But I always think about those wells that we bought up in Tulsa. You know, one of those wells, it just, the gas just got vented. Oh, the PC doesn't come out. Shh, don't tell anybody.
What is the?
Those wells were not owned by Digital Wildcatters or any other entity.
Chuck, this is a fake. This is a fake story.
Hypothetically, but no, I mean, it had a good amount, but it
could have put a hash hut out there.
Yeah, it just wasn't economic to run a pipeline to it, and so you could have put a hash hut out there. Fuck, dude, I wish we would have known Barbara and the guys back then. But you know, I had two EMPs last week hit me up, one in Michigan, one in West Texas, and both of these guys ranged from 2 million cubic feet a day to 6. And it's like, hey, I'm getting slaughtered on nat gas prices. Where can I go to learn about Bitcoin? Yeah. Because it's funny, oil and gas guys and girls, we're as capitalistic as it gets. And so, like, if there's a way to make more money than what you're getting for just selling to midstream. But I think even like when we did the first Empower, you know, Chuck and I went and sat down at Lime Rock and gave home how many people are in that boardroom? 20?
20. Yeah.
20 people. And purely like, hey guys, y'all should be looking at this. And you know, I love Chuck. Chuck's like, hey, you know, there is some risk. You're probably going to get sued by landowners and all this.
Because what do you do about royalty interests?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, today, Lime Rock is, they're partnering up with Bitcoin miners and selling their gas to the Bitcoin miners.
They're doing it in the Bakken and they're doing it in the Austin Chalk. And, you know, in the Austin Chalk case, just, I know this because I sold Kane used to own this asset and sold it to Lime Rock, so I knew it. And I'm off memory here, so I may be a little off, but you were gonna have to put in a $20-25 million gathering system that would never pay back, but that was to get rid of all the flaring. I think Lime Rock, I don't want to disclose any secrets, but I think they've publicly said they just sell natural gas for like a buck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And and behold, they didn't have any of that 20, 25 million.
So
bucks.
I think that one of the things that kind of hurt the space, and I'm not going to name any names, but there were some early adopters who really hit this market really, really heavy. And they went out and said, hey, you're flaring. We want to take your flare. We're not going to pay you for your gas, but we're doing a civil service by removing the flare. And we're going to put some data centers and some Bitcoin miners out there. And that chapped a lot of asses. Even to this day, I've heard so many stories. People are like, well, you know what? Fuck you. We're just not going to do anything. Right. Yeah. Now people are starting to realize, oh shit, miners will actually pay us a good amount for this gas.
Well, it's not just like, I'm going to pay you this amount for the next month. They're yeah. long-term, they're like pseudo midstream contracts.
Absolutely.
Right? They're yeah. long-term, minimum
none of these groups will do a deal unless it's at least 24 months.
And, let's be fair here and list out some of the downside stuff, because nothing is ever a panacea, right?
Yeah.
So
there's volatility.
I mean, there's
well, it, well,
hey, we're used
let,
to that.
Let Chuck
but real quick on the flared gas thing, it's not super simple to run a natural gas turbine out there. You do need a steady flow mm-hmm. of nat gas.
You need a certain amount of pressure. You need a certain exactly. BTU
you
content.
You can't have any H2S.
It can be super intermittent.
Yeah.
Like there are things.
So there are some requirements yeah. there. We use 92% uptime in our machines. You got to keep the machines cool. I mean, it's not hard, but at the same time, it's not just plugging in.
It's not impossible with wet gas, but dry gas is easier. H2S, I will say, if there's any H2S present, sorry, it just throws off the economics. It's just absolutely not possible. Yeah. So that is one of the major disqualifiers.
None of those are unique though, right? Like that's the same exact story if you're just producing for oil and gas, right? H2S is more expensive.
Production engineers that build facilities deal with all these issues every day.
Yeah.
It's not more complex than running some simple separators.
Yeah. And you know, there are some other considerations too. Like if you're an EMP, like, you know, you do need gen sets out there. So who's putting up
the capex?
Who's putting up the capex for the gen sets? Is it the EMP or is it the miner? Some of these miners, like Giga, for example, you know, brings their own gen sets to the deal. And so
I think that's a good point, though. Like, can you talk about the multiple business models?
So like if you're an EMP, there's model number one, you're doing a gas purchasing agreement with a miner, right? So they're taking the gas. They are putting up all the capex for all the machines, all the gen sets, everything.
They being the miners.
It's literally no risk to you. You're just going to get paid on your gas, right?
Credit risk of the buyer.
You're not participating in any of the upside. It's no different than you selling it to a pipeline, right? The second is what Colin just mentioned with Giga is they'll do a lot of these deals where it's kind of like your partner's in this. It doesn't mean you're going to put up all of the capex for the facility, but maybe you put up half and maybe you share in a certain portion of the upside in the Bitcoin, which you can then convert to cash.
Which you have done your whole career, pop contracts with gatherers.
Yeah. Yeah.
In process.
And then you have a third one, which is you can once again put up the capex, but you're like, man, I don't want to maintain Bitcoin mining machines. Well, you've got guys like 360 Mining who will come in and essentially be the operator for you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it. Because maintaining it, let's be honest, maintaining it is not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah.
These things trip up all the time, circuit boards fry, especially when you're in West Texas. It's windy, it's sandy, there's all sorts of things that can go wrong.
There's a lot of maintenance that goes to it. You remember Jake and I had a friend, this how early, like he was in Bitcoin. He built a Bitcoin mining facility in Waco in 2015. And I remember him talking about how to maintain that thing. He sold it in like 2017. And and back then they were running. That was when like S9s were like, the best technology, which is funny to think about. But I remember him, you know, talking about he was an IT guy and, you know, the maintenance. And so there is maintenance, but it's no different than what surface facility engineers already do in oil and gas. You know, when we first came up with the idea from power back in 2022, when I saw it was the miners were getting exiled out of China. China was saying, hey, this is way too power intensive, banned all of them. And so you had all of these miners, you know, it's like cockroaches that come scurrying out of China looking for places to mine, and they go to Google and, you know, Google United States oil and gas, and we come up. And so they'd reach out to us. And the funniest story that I have is I take these two guys from China, these Chinese miners, they've got their Binance backpacks on, and I take them up to Tulsa, Oklahoma with my redneck oil and gas friends. And, you know, we're walking around location, and I had this realization. I was like, oil and gas companies are full of extremely technical, dense engineering teams. They can figure out how to mine Bitcoin and plug in computers and maintain the computers. If they want to or not is a different question, but if they want to, they definitely can. And so what gets me excited is I want to see the first big oil and gas company that decides to start being a tech company. Like AWS is acquiring, you know, these co-located data centers with energy assets. tech has no problem becoming energy companies. I want to see energy companies start thinking about themselves as tech companies and become vertically integrated.
Oh yeah, I wrote a tweet about this 6 months ago, a year ago, something like that. Because if you think about it, five guys in a rusty pickup truck and some private equity can double U.S. oil production. We proved it, right? We did that. If we're going to need 2x, 3x the amount of electricity, and we've talked about this a million times on BDE and various podcasts, that's hard. Grids are hard. Electricity has to be synchronized, et cetera. So I don't know that it's an entrepreneurial five guys in a rusty pickup truck that are going to be able to do this. And so given that, I think it's a very, you need to have, you may not do this as an oil and gas company, but you need to have a strategy and have thought about it in terms of integrating things and ultimately going to the consumer straight and taking the grid out of the equation. Well, I mean, you need to at least be thinking about
it. You know what is funny is that all the pioneers in the Bitcoin mining oil and gas space are five guys in a rusty pickup. I mean, you look at Giga, you look at Gideon and Choya, you look at, you know, Barber and Upstream. Like, I mean, it's that rusty pickup.
And it's funny, everybody you just mentioned are oil and gas guys first and foremost.
Yeah.
And they're coming from the space and they're literally laying the foundation. Those are like the fucking round, the Mount Rushmore of fucking Bitcoin mining in the space.
No, they're going to be legends someday, you know? So
I want to point something out now that I'm going back through this. Those numbers that we threw out were with no carbon credits or environmental credit benefit at all either too. So like
we do,
that's coming.
We do need to dive into that sometime of, you know, what,
I mean, it fits into the bigger trend, right? Like you've got carbon capture, given like oil and gas companies
recommending it to Toby Rice on here. Yeah, Toby, go ahead. We ran the numbers.
Yeah.
Well, no, and Toby, I already know Toby's eyes are rolling so fucking hard at this.
No, but it does point out the fact that over the last, you know, 5 years, you've had depressed, lower for longer energy environment compounded with all the energy policy stuff that we talk about all of the time. And it's forcing the oil and gas industry to figure out how to do more with less, how to clean up their shit, so to speak. And so one of the ways, like, you've got carbon capture, which is good for the environment where we're pulling the CO2 out, but then as a business thing, taking out the cost of the capture, of course, we know as oil and gas folks that if you inject CO2, you actually increase your recoverable reserves by a significant amount, right? And so it's like, you've got this weird closed loop thing that's kind of happening. And now Bitcoin mining is another one of those things where it's like, hey, now that this cost center becomes a profit center, or, you know, a revenue center at least, and also it's clean. Like,
but you know, continuously, like, here's more the thing that's interesting about Bitcoin mining specifically is that it's not even just a clean or ESG play. Like J Energy back in the day, they weren't taking flared gas. This isn't just a flared gas thing. Right. J Energy was literally tapped into a pipeline and buying at spot price and mining Bitcoin, and they were getting like, you know, $10 net back in MCF. I mean, that's a pretty big arb there.
In the history of Bitcoin mining, I think this is a true statement. If not, it's close enough. You would if you had everything set up, you would always mine because you always are selling your gas for a higher price. Now, there are periods where Bitcoin prices are depressed, natural gas prices are higher, where you're not making a return on your CapEx. But if everything's set up there and you're making the economic decision every day, you would always mine.
Yeah.
And so,
well, even just having an alternative, right? Like if you're a mom and pop or even just a big independent, there are a handful of pipeline companies that own pretty much all of the pipeline infrastructure in the country, right? And then it's like, well, if they're going to give you the price that they're going to give you, whether you think it's the right price or not. And so if you don't have an alternative, well, you shut your well in, you vent it, or you don't sell it, right?
It's optionality. Like even if you have takeaway, like, hey, and I'll just make up some allocation, but we're going to put 50% into the pipeline and we're going to use 50% to mine with.
Well, take it the next step further is, you know, if I run an E&P company, why am I not demanding of all my gatherers and processors? Because I go in and say, hey, I need to be able to strip this or strip that. I want to be able to mine. I would be pushing back that when I have some leverage and some negotiations mm-hmm. on a gathering and processing deal.
Yeah.
We ought to hit up our guy Case and see what they're doing with their midstream company on that.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, you know, I wonder if the economics support putting in the, and at 2.5 month payback they do, but hey, let's put in this. We'll start offering it to our clients and we'll take 25% of the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, you've already got, like, kind of to what Colin was talking about, you've already got, you know, field wide gathering systems and plants and treatments. You know, like, the gas is getting to pipeline quality in most cases already.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's like, if you're an E&P, especially if you're a good size one, you've got a centralized field. You're pushing for electrification for everything else operationally already. Why aren't we just, you have the pipeline infrastructure. Why aren't you putting gensets next to your pipeline quality gas where it comes out and then setting up a literal mini power system? Like, you could literally set up your entire field to run off of your associated gas in the Permian.
You know what, that one EMP that reached out to me that has 6 million cubic feet a day, I mean, 5.5 million of it comes from 1 meter. And it's like, damn, it's a pretty big hot spot right there. You put a turbine out there and mm-hmm. all of a sudden you can power your entire lease.
That's what I'm saying.
And we've talked about this for years on the oil and gas startups podcast.
It's expensive as shit to get power lines run to these remote locations.
Especially where this EMP is. I'm not going to say right where they're at, but there is very little electricity infrastructure mm-hmm. there. And so we've talked about this for years on the oil and gas startup podcast is building out these microgrids.
Yeah.
out on these leases. And the missing component was always ways to monetize. And so, but there are ways to monetize now through Bitcoin mining. And the ancillary program and ERCOT. And so it's just really cool to see.
There's
that.
8 programs now.
Yeah.
People think it's like one program. It's right. Like, it's so much that people pay these people to manage coming in and out of these programs at any given time. And you actually get paid even when you're not curtailing. You're paid to be a part of that program.
I was going to ask you to
that's mailbox talk money. About
historically, that. ERCOT's been pay for power. They've done some backdoor stuff where they're in effect paying for capacity. Yeah.
So anyways. Well, that
significantly improves even further. The economics that we've already shown are ridiculous as of today, yeah. Right? Is it's like they're literally paying you. I've heard that Bitcoin miners make just as much money when they're getting paid to shut down so they can use it for base load.
More.
As they do mining, depending on the price, of course.
And I will say this. You need to understand this because I would never take a lease as an oil and gas company without having Bitcoin mining addressed in it.
Oh, 100%.
I mean,
no, 100%.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing is, I think if you are in oil and gas or just in energy as a whole, this is what's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
And you have to be just like Lime Rock, like, hey, we sat down with Lime Rock. It's like, you need to understand this because it's coming down the pipeline. And within 2 years, Lime Rock's like, hey, yeah, we're selling. Not only did we learn about it, we're actually selling our gas because it made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you are just going to be left in the dark if you're not paying attention to what's happening on a macro level. And so there's just so many different angles to go about it. And I think this is what's cool about Empower is getting so many people from different facets of the industry.
So when's Empower again?
March 26th, 27th.
713
Music Hall.
It's a good time. It's fun.
Yeah.
We treat it like a party and just inject content in the middle of it. And so lots of good people there and everyone just wants to build and really, you know, just bring the future of the energy industry to life. So it's a good time.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think we're gonna
drop this on 3 podcasts.
Yeah, we're dropping this on 3 podcasts also. So it's not just Chuck Gates.
This is a mashup, baby.
No, love it. I mean, it's a If you're at an EMP and you're not looking into this, you're not doing your fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders.
Evolve or die.
Shots
fired. Jason Lawyer is after him.